And it goes along with what we talked about last week, because we had two boards up here. Any of you kids remember we had two boards? And what was the board over here? What did that board represent? Anybody remember? Monet?
Lies.
Lies. Things that are lies about things that we believed about ourselves that have been negative. And Abraham, did you want to add to that? What was this board over here? Things that were the truth? Yeah, things that are the truth. And I think all of us, whether we're adult or whether we're a kid, have experienced things in our life and seen ourselves behave in ways where we go, that just cannot be who God made me to be. But we become so utterly convinced when we see ourselves behaving in that same way over and over again. And so we start to believe that lie, and we might even call that lie personality, which is also another lie. Because we were conceived not in our mother's womb and not here on earth, but we were conceived in God's imagination. Isn't that so crazy to think of? That God, who made the universe, God who made this incredible huge space, and like, has anybody seen pictures of space lately? Like, it's pretty incredible what we can do to see into space. And then, you know, when I went to school, I don't know any of you kids, but the smallest particle when I went to school was called what? An atom, right? But now we know that that's like not even close to the smallest particle. What's the smallest particle that we know of now? Yes! Okay, who was that, Jared? Of course it was. Of course it was! So we now know that there are subatomic particles, sub-subatomic particles, and then there are these crazy things called
quarks,
right? And so we're talking about a level of incredible hugeness and then teeny, teeny tininess that God kind of is inside of and has created. And that's the same God that had a really good idea. And when he had that really good idea, it was one of us. And he thought of a person that was so exciting and so interesting and so creative and so smart in so many different ways. And he said, that person is so exciting. I want to spend all of eternity hanging out with that person. And that was one of us. And he so liked that idea that we became real and we became us. And so it's so important for us to stop listening to the lies and start listening to the truth so that we can become and really be here on earth the person that God always knew that he was making us to be when he started. And I don't know about you guys, but how many of you would say, I feel like I know that God loves me? Would most of you both say, like, I think I'm pretty sure that God loves me, right? Have any of you ever felt like, but I don't feel like I feel that love very often? Anybody, like, just, yeah. I don't feel like I feel that love as much as I want to feel it. So, thank you, babe. I felt that most of my life. I knew about Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit since I was about 5 years old. Anyone five right now?
We've got to have a five-year-old in the house.
Or six?
They're with Miss Johnson.
Yes! There we go. Right? So since I was your age until I was really, really old, like 38, I wanted to feel God's love, and I didn't ever really feel it very much. Like, I felt my mom's love a lot, and I felt my dad's love a lot, and I felt my sister's love a lot, but I didn't ever really feel God's love. And that frustrated me, because if he was this really cool big God and he really loved me a lot, so much that he wanted to spend all of eternity with me, then how come I didn't feel it? Anybody ever ask that question? How come I don't feel it so much? And so this was the challenge that I had most of my life, was going, I want this for real. I want to know that it's real. And about 5 or 6 years ago, I remember a friend praying for me, and she said, I think God wants to do something special for you. And she goes, I think that special thing is that God wants to help you become like a little child. So I'm like 38 years old, and this is her big deal, is I want to make you become like a little child. Now, how many of you guys are going to go, that would be a good deal, right? At 38, you should become like a little child. Right? Okay, it would be good. I was super offended, and I was really mad. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure what being like a little child is really going to do me. I finally can eat whatever I want, whenever I want. Not always a good thing. I can go to bed whenever I want. I can like make up my own rules. So I was pretty happy with being an adult. And I wasn't sure what being like a little kid was really going to do for me. Right? I mean, what is this going to gain me? I'm going to be somewhat powerless. Well, and I can't like control a lot of things. And some of you kids are really good at having power and controlling a lot of things. Trust me, you've like figured it out better than I figured it out, by the way, just saying. But I was like, this is not going to help me. I'm not sure what this does. And she said, I can actually hear like the pitter-patter of little feet, and that's what you're going to be like. And I remember hanging up the phone, and I was mad. I was mad. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I could just like really seriously knock over the trash can too. I could do that. I was so mad. I was like, I don't want to become like a little child. I just want to feel you for real. I want to hear you with my own ears, and I want to feel your love. That's what I want. After 30-some years of being in relationship with you, I want to have an encounter with you. I don't know if any of you have ever wanted to have an encounter with God, but I was like, show me the money. That's what I want. I want an encounter. So 2 days later, I'm in my office, and I am learning how to worship. I don't know if any of you know this, but I like really did not like worship, by the way. Didn't love it. I know. Like, really? No, I didn't like it. I felt like it was like felt fake to me. I felt like I was singing words that I wasn't sure if I felt really sincere about. And I was always thinking of other things while I was doing worship. Anybody ever do that? Like, I was thinking of, yeah, right, I know, like grocery lists or things I wanted to do or television programs or friends or whatever. And so I felt like the whole thing was kind of not so sincere, and I wanted to learn how to do it right. So I would be in my house at night, and I go, I want to learn how to actually really worship you, God, because if I'm going to have an encounter, I think probably I need to learn how to do the worship thing, and I don't like it. So help me with this. And so I was in my office doing this, and Darby came in, and I was worshiping, and she like couldn't sleep that night. And so she said, can I just hang out in here with you for just a few minutes? Do you remember this, Darby? A little bit. And so she sat on my chair, and I thought, well, my daughter should see me worship. You know, as awkward as it is, she should see me worship. And this is how she watched me. And I said, it's kind of awkward, isn't it? And she goes, uh-huh, you kind of make me feel squishy on the inside. And I said, that's okay, I understand. I said, I'm learning how to do this too. I'm learning how to worship God too. And I felt the Lord say to me, you know, maybe you should pick her up, you know, and hold her. Now, I don't know if you've noticed Darby, if you'd stand for just a second. Like, Darby's 12, but you know, she's tall. And when she was 6, she was almost this tall. And so, okay, you can sit down. And so I thought, how am I going to hold her? You know, I mean, she was like tall, like, you know, when I hold her, like her legs were like down to my ankles. And so the Lord said, why don't you hold her for a few minutes? And I said, Darby, you want me to hold you? And she goes, yes. So I scooped her up. She's probably, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 at the time. And I'm holding her, and there's a worship song on. And Darby did this thing. She did this thing where she pressed her whole self into me. Anybody have that happen, like with a friend or with your mom or with your dad, where they like press their whole selves into you? And she wrapped her arms around me, and she pressed her face up into me, and she wrapped her legs around me, and she pressed herself up into me. And I started to cry, because many of you know our story, which is that Darby had autism. And so she didn't really like to be touched so much. And she was my precious, beautiful girl that really didn't let me hold her, didn't really let me hug her, didn't really like that sensation. And it had been a lot of years where we had been learning to agree with God that she was a snuggly girl, even though she didn't behave like that, right? So the lie was that she was not made to snuggle and you should just leave her alone. And what the Lord was telling us instead was that she was our snuggle bug. And this was one of the first times where she ever melted into me. And all of a sudden, something happened in the air. And you know how the air gets electric when something happens, when you're realizing something? I felt like the air had electricity. And I started to feel like I was in multiple places at once. Now, I know some of you guys have had this experience. Have you ever like kicked a goal into the goal, you know, into or played a sport and you felt like you saw yourself doing it and you were doing it at the same time, like you're watching yourself in a movie and you're doing it at this. Have you ever had like that kind of experience where you're like in multiple places at once? No, right? So this is what was happening to me. I was in my body holding on to my daughter, and all of a sudden I could feel myself like I was in God's body holding both of us. And then at the same time, I was in her body being held by her mom and by God. And it was so weird and so cool because I felt God saying to me, as long as you have longed to hold your daughter and have her receive your love, because that was the deal. She couldn't receive my love. It didn't feel like love to her. As much as my love was love to me, she didn't feel it like love. For her, it felt uncomfortable. But for the first time now, she was starting to feel my love as love. And he said, that is what's been happening to you. I have been hugging you, and you haven't been able to feel my love as love. You have had the same kind of brain damage that she's had, and you haven't been able to perceive it the way that I meant it. And so for the first time, I understood that God has been aching to hold me my whole life like I had been aching to hold Darby her whole life. And he had been aching for me to let go and let loose and let myself fall into him. But I hadn't been able to do it because I thought God was all preoccupied with all the lies in my life. I thought God was all fixated on the board over here. And I didn't know that he didn't care about that board, that he'd already paid for that board, and he was focused on this board over here. So I couldn't feel his love as love. Did you want to comment? So this was a huge new change for me because I realized that I had maybe like brain damage. Anybody ever think that? Like maybe I have a little bit of brain damage. Maybe I can't feel God's love the way he means for me to feel it. Maybe I need to have a healing in my brain so that I can perceive his love the way he means it. Just the way Darby needed to have a healing in her brain so that she could feel my love the way that I meant it. Isn't that a cool thought? Maybe it's not that he doesn't love us. Maybe there's like something that he wants to heal in us so that we can perceive it better. And so Darby at this point got heavy and I put her down and she was like messing around. And I'm in this place where I have finally felt God's love for the first time in like 30 years. I have really felt his love. So I'm like super excited. And she's like throwing stuff around the room. And I'm like, don't mess with the moment. I'm having a moment. And I know you were a part of it. And I'm super excited about the don't mess with the moment. Don't mess with the moment. And she's like flinging stuff around. And what had happened was we had made a quilt. And by the way, I had it sitting by the door. I have it sitting by the door right now at home. And I was going to show you the quilt. So here, you can imagine. Here's the quilt. It's really pink and green. It's really pretty. And we had remade this quilt for Darby. And we had all these scraps left over. And she was flinging the scraps around. And I was about ready to tell her, stop flinging the scraps because you're messing with my love moment. And I felt the Lord say, ask her what she's doing. And so I said, Darby, what are you doing? And she goes, I'm just playing. And I said, why? What are you doing? And she goes, well, Mom, they're love. And they were pieces of fabric. And she goes, they're love. And she goes, do you want some? I know, you've never been in the room when I've shared this story. It's such a special Mother's Day for me, I can't even tell you. She's flinging these little pieces of fabric around, and she goes, do you want some? And I said, yeah, I want some. And she took them, she goes, boom, just like that. And she threw them, and I'm telling you, like something magical happened with these fabric because they went like in slow motion. And they just floated down. And I felt this wave of love come over me. And I was like, whoa, what just happened? And she goes, do you want some more? And I was like, uh-huh. And she scoops them up and she goes, here you go. And she goes, and it just, this wave of love just like poured over me. And I was like, what is happening? Like, I am finally, finally feeling love. Finally feeling love. And she's giggling, and I'm like kind of went down on my knees because I could, like, I just couldn't even stand. And she goes, Mom, do you want to be buried in love? And I said, yes. Yes, I do. She goes, well, lay down. So I laid down, and she piled all this fabric on top of me, and then we had, like, some spare clothes that we were giving away, so she put those on top of me, too. And then she crawled up on top of me. My little girl, who would hardly ever let me hold her, crawled all on top of my body and laid flat on top of me like this, face to face, except that there's a lot of fabric in between. And she goes, Mom, Mom, can you feel the love now? I'm like, yes, yes, I can. And I realized at that moment, as I'm laying on the floor with my daughter with a bunch of fabric and old clothes, piled up, and she goes, okay, will you bury me now? And she starts to, I played with her in the office for an hour that night, maybe even longer, as we like threw the fabric around and played in this fabric of love. And I realized I had become like a little child. And that it was something that God does to us and for us. He opens up a space in our brain and in our emotions to make us able to perceive what he's wanting to do in our lives. Isn't that the best? And so he had done this thing, and I started to realize that he wants to relate to us in different ways in our life. So kids, we're gonna like do four little quick words, and then you guys are gonna head off with Miss Christie. And these four words are the four different ways that God loves to relate to us as his child. The first one is nepios, and that's an infant. And so when it says that we are the children of God, throughout scripture, there are four different ways that God refers to us as his child. I didn't even know there were four. Did anyone know there were four? Like, seriously, like anyone, I want, like, super be impressed. Like, we'll give you an extra cup of cocoa or something, I don't know. Okay, there's four ways. One of them is nepios, which is an infant. So sometimes God knows that we are totally incapable and totally unable. And in a situation in your life, has anybody ever felt totally incapable and totally unable? Anyone? Okay. That's when God wants to be the father of an infant. He wants us to be an infant so that he can be that kind of dad for us. And then the second one is paedion. Yeah, it's interesting spelling. And that is, and I might not be pronouncing this one exactly correctly. I think the other one I am. And that one is like a child that's weaned to like a young child. So like, you know, depending on where in the world you grow up, but you know, two-ish to like five or six is that age. And so when we're called children of God, he often means a young kid. And how many of us need that kind of instruction from God sometimes? You know, we don't need him to tell us how to tie our shoe. We need him to show us, right? That's the show me stage. I don't need you to tell me how to do this, Lord. I need you to show me how to do this. And then the third one is the tech. And that is the child that is an adolescent. And then the fourth is the weos. H-E-I-O-S, the weos, and that is the fully mature son or daughter. So when you are the tech, that is the, I'm questioning everything because I think I already got this adolescent stage, but I might make some really huge mistakes, so I need you to have my back. And the weos is the fully mature, and that is the son or daughter who owns the family business and knows what to do with their inheritance. So kids, here's the cool thing. God loves all the different stages that we get to be in. And when you... that's seriously the second spill in this service. It's okay, babe.
It's an outpouring, apparently. Our name, Desert Outpouring, it's all good. Just leave it there, you're fine. It'll be dry in like 5 minutes anyway, because we're in the desert. So God loves to deal with us in so many different ways. It also means that if you are saying, God, I want an encounter with you. I want to feel you. I want to hear you. I want to know you. That is the kind of God he wants to be. And if you are in the place where you're like, I have no idea what to do, then God wants to be that kind of God for you. And if you're in a place, kids, where you're like, you know what, I got this, then God's going, you know what? That's all right. Then we'll do it that way. Because he loves being the different kind of parent to all the different stages. So we are going to let you head off, kiddos, to have a fun, super... Now, Christy, if you want to take those pictures at the end so they can make their... Okay, so we have a craft that the kids are going to do. It's going to be super awesome. You know, very Mother's Day-ish. Yay! You know, we got the memo. It's Mother's Day. And then what we're going to do is the kids are going to come back in time for our prophetic practice. After our prophetic practice, what we'd like for you to do is gather up your kiddos and go over to either Miss Christie or whoever she has who is going to take a picture of you and your family so that the kids can put that picture on their craft. Okay? So we have an Instastax, you know, like the old Polaroids. You have one too, yay! Okay, so we're borrowing Darby's. Best idea ever. Okay, so everyone 10 and under 10 is, if you want to stay, you can stay, or you can go with Miss Christie, but everyone under 10, please head on out. And Miss Christie, we should be done at 5:15.
Thank you, Miss Christie. Woo! You are a blessing.
Kids, you will be champions. You will be genius and kind and honoring and loving and good. Yes. Woo-hoo. All right. Darby, are you guys going to maybe... Okay, I didn't know if you were going to stay or not. Okay. So, how cool is it that God wants to parent us in different ways in our different circumstances? Isn't that encouraging? Because, you know, when I look back at my life, how many times have you been really, truly in an infant stage in something, but you've been trying to be the adult? And you're like, why is this not working? Why can I not hear God? Why am I not understanding? Why is he not helping me here? Because you're wanting him to talk to you like this when you're really like this. And so it's hard for you to hear him because it's a totally different language. When you're an infant, God takes care of everything. He takes care of everything, because not because you need it, but because he likes to be that kind of God where he does everything. But there are times where, like, maybe we've come into this stage, our Padion stage, and the Lord's going, it's time to move up. It's time to move up. And you're going, oh, I really would rather not. I'd rather have you take care of everything. I'd rather have you take care of everything. And he's going, yeah, I need you to grow up and mature. I need you to learn how to rule and reign. I need you to learn how to go about the family business. We do not go from this stage to this stage to this stage to this stage in chronological years. We go through these stages based on the invitation that we have in an adventure with God. So you may be an infant in one area of your life, and you may be a fully grown adult in another area of your life, and you may cycle back through and around these stages because you're coming up into full maturity in all these different invitations from God in different areas of your life. Our problem in the Western world is that we think that we're supposed to come from this to this in chronological experience and then just operate as a fully mature adult. But how many of us have stumbled and realized, I am not a fully mature adult of a teenager, right? I'm not a fully mature adult in this new relationship with a parent who's ailing in health. I don't know how to deal with a friendship or someone who is an illness. I don't know how to do this, right? So we will have certain, how about a new business, right? You're being a fully mature adult in almost every area of your life, and all of a sudden you start a new business, and guess where you go? You keep trying to talk to God like you're here, but you're actually here. So it's like so encouraging because it goes, oh, maybe the language that I've been using with God has made it impossible for me to hear what it is that he's saying. Because I thought I was in a different stage and he wants to deal with me a little bit differently. Super helpful. Okay, Lindsay, you had something you wanted to say?
That's what I was going to say. I was going to ask why some days do I feel like I understand what he's saying and then some days suddenly I don't. It's always followed my mind.
Yeah. And oftentimes, how many of you have realized that there are levels at which you are operating in the spirit? So let's do this. If you can take a little space, let's just move it right here.
Hey, that's my board. I'll be in charge of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's
my board.
There's
mine.
There's levels that we're operating in the same exact, like, so for example, trying to think of how to best describe this. The only example that's coming to mind is on church here, so I guess I'll go with that one. right? So Greg and I went from, you know, small groups to doing a consistent group in our home on Sunday mornings, right? And we felt pretty established when we had done that for a couple of months. And the Lord invited us into a building, which we were like kind of excited about and kind of not excited about, to be honest with you, because it was a whole new level of commitment. And so we've been doing that. And you would think that you would grow up in it, right? You would think that it would be a chronological experience. We started here in November. We're starting to get acclimated. We kind of know who's doing the food. We know who's doing kind of the AV. We're knowing how a few things work. But guess what happens? What happens is that you graduate in the spirit into new territories. So you feel like in your emotions and in your thinking, you have no idea what just happened, except for the fact that you just graduated into a new territory. And what was really simple before now becomes an entirely new thing. So here's, I'm not sure how to quite describe this, but it's like you're traveling along. Say this is like your little, like, you know, this is the ground you're standing on, right? And this is kind of like the ceiling of what you can possibly conceive of, right? But here's what happens. Your ceiling literally becomes your floor. It just gets pressed down. And you graduate into a whole new space. It might happen in your parenting. It might happen in your marriage. It might happen in your relationships. It might happen in your workplace. You graduate into a new territory. You cross over, and it can happen pretty much overnight. And that which was really easy to you the day before, all of a sudden, becomes completely different because you have just graduated into a new territory. And what was your ceiling has now become your floor. And when you enter into these new spaces relationally, what meets you the first day you wake up and you're in a new territory? Does anybody know? I had no idea we were going to talk about this today. Giants.
Panic.
Yeah, panic.
Giants.
Because this is like the Israelites going out and spying the new land. And you have to perceive with your spirit your future and agree with God. Because there will be two opinions about everything. There will be, you can do that one. You
maybe
know
like
the two.
Nephra?
No. No, just do agreement with
okay.
The enemy, agreement with God. There's going to be two opinions about everything. So you're going to have a perspective that is going to push you back. And you're going to have, like, those spies came back from that territory, right? And they said, this land is filled with giants. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. It is not it's a land that devours its inhabitants. We should go back. And this happens, doesn't it? It happens in your parenting. It can happen in your marriage. It can happen in your business. It can happen in an adventure. Anyone, like, have that happen recently? Right? All of a sudden, you landed in a new space in the exact same circumstances. That's what throws you, is it's the exact same circumstances. So you're like, I don't understand. Why do I all of a sudden feel overwhelmed? Because congratulations, you graduated. You graduated into a new territory with God. I know, right? Isn't that so crazy? It's so good, right? And so you graduated into this new territory, but now what you have are giants. So you can agree that that there are giants in the land and that you're like a grasshopper and that there's nothing good here.
And that the desert's better.
Let's go back to the desert. Let's go back to slavery. Or you can go, this is the place where I was made to rule and reign. This business, this relationship, this parenting, this circumstance is where I was made to rule and reign. And by the time I leave this spiritual territory, all of the giants will become grasshoppers in my eyes. And I will eat of the fruit of this territory. That's the choice that you have, to see it from this perspective or to see it from this perspective. Here's what you have also. You have the option to see yourself from the enemy's perspective, which is that you are incapable, unable, pretty lame, kind of pathetic, and it's never going to work out. Or you can see it from the Lord's perspective. So here's what happened with us, with the church thing. We kind of felt like, okay, well, we don't have huge numbers here at the church because we have no marketing plan, no signs, and hardly anyone who knows about us. That might be part of it. We kind of feel pretty good. Other than that, you know, like, we love what we're doing. We're pretty happy with it. And all of a sudden, I woke up one day and felt completely overwhelmed and went, we can't do this. This is a terrible idea. and we have no way of marketing, and we have no budget for marketing, and it just all of a sudden it became hugely overwhelming. Hugely, just showing up became hugely overwhelming. The sense that I need to perform for everyone and make this something that pleases people became hugely overwhelming, which, by the way, I don't care. I really don't, but in this new place, I felt like I did. And that's the really cool thing, is that your emotions can be affected in this place. Even your thinking can be affected in this place. So what do you need to do? You need to find out, what kind of kid do I need to be today? What kind of kid wins in this place? What kind of kid is God inviting me to be here? Is he inviting me to be an infant where he does everything for me and I do nothing for myself but receive? Is he inviting me in this new place to be a little toddler who really just plays all day long and is not concerned with the things of this world? But you just play, and your play overcomes. Or is it that you're an adolescent where you're starting to get some ideas, and you're starting to get some feeling of what it is that God's doing with you, but you're also going to make some really big mistakes, and he's got to have your back? Or is it that he's inviting you to start owning the family business? And it will feel instinctively right, but if you step, we all think, well, we have to get to here. But sometimes that's not the invitation from him. Sometimes he just wants to be the parent of an infant. And so he purposely makes us totally overwhelmed because he just wants to love us that way. How many of us, if we had a shrink ray, would shrink our kids back to an infant for like 5 minutes just so we could snug them and get 5 minutes? No, you would never, ever, not even for 5 minutes. Even I would do that, and I don't even love the infant stage. She's horrified. Yes, you would do that, right? Right? You're doing it right, right?
There we go.
Shrink ray. Right? It's 5 minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes. There's no
guaranteed.
Guaranteed. There's no diaper changing.
It's a happy five, right?
Yes.
It's a happy five.
Yes. That's when they're like sleeping. Yeah.
You
just need to qualify what it was. You guys are still too close to it.
5 minutes.
Right. Sometimes you just want to love on your kids in that way, you know? And so sometimes God wants to love on us in that way. sometimes he's in the stage where he's like, there is nothing that you're going to be able to do while you build this business if I'm not with you every moment showing you how. Sometimes in this relationship, there isn't a single thing that you're going to be able to do unless I do it with you. Every moment, we're going to do it together. Because I don't want you to do it any other way. It's not because you're weak. It's because that's the kind of parent I want to, I like to spend time with you. And he says, you cannot enter the kingdom until you become what? Like a child. He wants us to become like these different children. And entering the kingdom is what? It's not eternal heaven with God. The kingdom of heaven is what? Just a quick reminder. It's the rule and reign of heaven on earth. It's the rule and reign of goodness. So we enter into the rule and reign of Jesus on earth when we hit this, when we recognize the kind of dad that God wants to be with us and the kind of Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to be. Isn't that fun? Yay. And when we're here, what's so fun about that is we actually know what we're doing. Anybody had a season in your life in a particular area where you knew what you were doing? I would, like everybody, right? Yes? You knew. Guess what? What usually happens right after that, the ceiling becomes the floor. Almost always, right after that, the ceiling becomes the floor, and you get to explore at a whole new place. And so, one of the things, so when we got really overwhelmed, we noticed that a lot of our core, which are a bunch of you guys here today, also got overwhelmed with the whole church thing. Like, it was an overwhelming sensation. And there was a lot of pressure against. And that was the giants going, you don't really want this territory, do you? You don't really, that's not really worth it, is it? There's really nothing good here. See, that's what will push on you. There's really nothing good to win in this relationship. There's really nothing good to win in this venture. There's really nothing good to win. You don't really want this, right? Why don't you just hightail it on out of here? Because this space is dominated by stuff that's bigger than you. You don't really want it. Isn't that fun? So we're starting to get acclimated. And when we graduated, and this was the best part, Bethel, we got a word when I was at Bethel, just right after this happened, I got hugely overwhelmed. And your tent thing happened. Shalene, so good. Shalene says, there's a lot of things that you want to be in life, if you had about 80 lives to live. But one of the things that Shalene said that always made me laugh was she said, you know what I'm saying? Okay, go ahead, say it.
I want to be a tent, a revivalist. Like a tent preacher.
Right?
Set a tent and just bring it.
Yeah, just bring it. Bring the goodness. Bring the glory. Right?
And I want everyone to go yelling, amen! Yeah. Preach it!
Right?
Get it!
Truth!
That's what I want to be in my next life.
Right?
You can
help them. I want you to be that in this life.
Yeah,
can you, right?
We do that here.
Yeah, right? So, I've always just loved that about Shalene. There's a lot of other things I love about her, but that's one of the things it just tickles me every time. I did totally burst out laughing. You want to what? I'm like, really? There's like no part of you that made me think that that's what you wanted to be, but I love it. And so when I was at Bethel,
I got a theme song for you. I'll share with you later.
Do you? Seriously?
Totally. Yeah.
Is that person still alive?
It's about the Mission Temple fireworks stand.
Oh yes. Yeah, Greg's life is all in like 50s and 60s country music.
Oh no, this is very recent.
Very recent? How, 70s?
No. 2000.
2000?
It's a great Taylor Swift song as well.
Right, okay, he's gonna break out. So, wrapping it up. When Shalene first shared that with me, the Lord really spoke to me, and he just put up posts, and he said, the cool thing about a tent and a canopy is that there's access from every side. And he said, and that's what I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to a canopy. I'm calling you to host a space where there's access from every side, where everyone can enter. And So when I was at Bethel, it was really neat. A gal came up and she goes, I think I have a word for you. And I was like, awesome. Go ahead, go for it. Practice. It's so good. And she goes, I see that you and your husband are doing a church. And she goes, are you and your husband doing a church? I said, yeah, we kind of are. And she's like, wow, that's so cool. And she goes, I see that there's like doors on every side and all the doors are open. And she goes, and the threshold is shaking. And I'm like, whoa, I'm like, do you have any more on that? She's like, nope, don't have anything more on that. All right. So I asked the Lord, and everyone kept saying, expand the space, expand the space. I'm like, Lord, how do we expand the space? Like, we're still trying to fill the space we got. And this was the cool word that he had for us. He said, what you're doing here, Ange, is you are hosting and holding open an empty space. And I knew immediately what that meant. Because when you hold open an empty space for God, that's when he fills it. And it's what he did in our lives when we opened up a physical and an emotional space in our lives to hear him and to be a kid who could really connect with him. He filled it with himself. And that's what he said. This is what this is here. He goes, you are holding open an empty space so that I can fill it. So that's part of the journey we're on. We've heard a few other words from him since then. We'll share that another time. But this is our fourth week in our family focus group. And we are trying this new thing. For those of you who don't know, which I think are maybe just Jared's parents, so I didn't mean to like point them out, but then I realized like, who else would that be? So like, that's obvious. And because Greg and I were super swamped this week, you get to actually fill out the same review for week three because it would be the same questions. So, you know, that's the way we roll. You know, this is because we're super into performance and we want to impress you. This is it. So if you just pass it out, what I'd like for you to do, you don't have to fill out the top part, you've already filled it out. But I'd love for you to answer the following questions and then go ahead and put your paper up here if you're willing to share it with us. You do not have to put your name on it. But what we'd like to do is take a few minutes and get some feedback from you guys, because what we're learning to do is to, oh, do I get to share this? Okay, I feel the Lord saying yes. I was asking the Lord, as we're holding open an empty space, holding it open for you to fill it with your presence, you know, what does that look like? Because you all know that this family focus group is about trying a thing we've never tried before, which is having a multi-generational service with kids and adults together, hearing a message that they can then talk about on the way home. We've been doing a lot of fun mixers. We did not do that this week because we were doing the Mother's Day thing, but we've been doing some quirky and weird mixers so that basically we would create unforgettable memories that kids really could never, ever forget that they participated in with their parents, and that would be a part of their, just a connecting point. And then I said, okay, Lord, what is this really, really all about? And he said, Ange, you know, there's a difference between a church that's praying for revival and a group of people that are preparing to host a move of fun. Thanks, Lynn. And he said, a church that's praying for revival, I knew right away, is a group of people that are hoping for something to happen. They're hoping for something to happen. But a group of people that are preparing for a move of God are people who know that they are the revival. They know that they are the move. And they're preparing to host the goodness of God in every corner of their life. They're willing to look at their family and their work and their circumstances and go, I want to learn how to rule and reign and become a mature adult in every area of my life. And I want to run with people who are that serious about it too. And I want to host the goodness of God in Arizona, in the earth. And that when we come together and gather together, our agreement with God creates such a canopy that people can see what they cannot see on their own. They can hear what they cannot hear on their own. And they can just catch a glimpse of what's possible. And once they catch a glimpse of what's possible, they can start to live it in their own life. And so I felt like the Lord shifted me from a, yes, Ange, we're hosting a move of God, to, Let's start preparing. Let's start preparing every family that's ready to carry a level of God's goodness. Let's equip them to rule and reign in every area of life. Because there's about to be a move on this earth that's going to be with us. Us. We're the outpouring. We're the move. We're the good news. I do know that the Lord has taught me just enough about how He sees things that I'm about the best opinion that walks in any room. And so are you. Your agreement with God makes you the wisest person in any room and in any circumstance. And learning how to come into agreement with God, that's what we get to do every day. That's what we get to do under pressure. That's what we get to do when we're pressed back, is we get to learn to agree with God about ourselves and about everybody else. Whew. So let's jump in on that first question. What was the idea or thought or teaching that impacted you most today?
You want us to share now?
Yep.
Okay, well, I have two. We're
gonna give you a mic.
I'm a big fan of learning new things, and so I love the academic and learning new concept of the four types of kids. Like, that's hugely impactful, makes a lot of sense to me, is immediately and quickly appropriated into my life. So I love that. I love a whole new way of thinking and identifying and seeing. And then second, I really loved watching my kids giggle during your message, because it told me they connected with it and they understood it. And immediately, as a mom, it tells me I have something to talk about at home with them. I'm watching them connect. And so it's exactly what you wanted when we drive home. I get to say, oh my gosh, I saw you giggling. Help, tell me what was so funny, and what did you love about what Angela and Greg were sharing. And so those are my two.
That's so good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen. Preach it. Preach it. That's good. Thanks so much. Anyone else? Thought or idea that impacted you most? Or you can also give us feedback on what we're doing so far. Like, everything's on the table in terms of format. We're...
I'd give up 5 minutes to hold either one of my kids like that again, too.
Oh yeah,
five.
It's all good. That's why we're doing it this way. We love it.
The last thought, that holding open an empty space for God to fill. I just realized my mind is pretty full, and there's some things that I really need breakthrough on, and I haven't been getting that, and I realize haven't left that open space for Him to fill it with what I'm needing right now, what I'm asking for.
That's good.
That's really helpful.
Hey. Woo. Good. Thanks, Lance. Revelation that He gave. We're building a new organization.
Can we seriously charge people $1
per sitting?
Because we can
really fund
some stuff.
Seriously.
That's a great
business
model
you
came up with.
That was genius. Oh my goodness. Okay, who else? Hey, just share any thoughts you have on anything that we're doing right now or on the message. We're not going to kick you off the island.
We were talking about how we usually go from an adult in the spirit to the right back to the infant in the spirit. Because when I was in Catalyst, as a missionary training school, I felt like I knew everything, and I felt like I knew exactly what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like really intact with the spirit. And then I go to college, my freshman year of college, literally days after. And so from being an adult, knowing exactly what I'm doing, to not knowing anything, had no community, and so it was really interesting.
It's so discombobulating, isn't it? what tends to happen is that the enemy frames those kinds of experiences as you did something wrong, you made a mistake, you weren't doing your quiet time, you weren't reading your Bible, I mean, all these kinds of condemning things, when what actually happened was, congratulations, you just graduated. You just graduated. But boy, just leave it to the enemy to make it seem like a failure. That's so good. Thanks for sharing that. Good. Anyone else? Oh, yay, Steph.
Hey.
This is coming in screwed, or maybe it's broken. I haven't heard you teach this in kind of a long time, but it's kind of stuck with me for a long time. And I need it. I think you could tell me every day, and I would need to hear it again, because I kind of try and put my life into categories. Like, this is too hard, this is all right, you know, and I even in my phone, I have lists of things that I'm like, okay, I'm kind of doing okay, like, this is too hard, I don't even know how to define this, and I forget totally that, like, to tie it to what the Lord might be doing, I'm just like, like, it kind of is just a gauge of how overwhelmed I might be instead of something to, or, you know, just discuss with people or with the Lord or something. So I'm just really refreshed by the I don't know, the different, you know, how I can be in 10 different spots in life and have that be okay.
Right. That's so good. Thanks, Steph.
What struck me and what I was instantly grateful for was a community and a place to come where there is a agreement with God that that I could feel a part of. That I'm not saying right. That there's a community of people that are running the same way that I'm running, and that it makes it a lot easier to run, and it feels like I'm not alone. And that's a big deal, especially when you know the crap hits the fan and the world wants you to do it a certain way, and you know that there's a better way, and that it's bigger than you. And I love that that one agreement with God can bust open, you know, all like years of lies, years of bondage.
Yeah.
One agreement with God can make the difference.
Yeah.
So.
Anyone else? Oh, I have a spinny stool. I forgot about that. You know, I didn't think we were that different until we went and started.
Have you visited him yet?
I know. Well, I mean, just you and me. I didn't think we were that different.
Oh, us?
Yeah,
we are kind of.
We are. But I didn't think we were that different. Until I realized that so many people are going after solving this and how futile that is. We've spent our lives trying to go after the negatives in our life and found ourselves fairly unsuccessful.
And we still get sucked into it.
Occasionally we do, but going after, you know, the negatives, we found fairly futile. Agreeing with God instead was such a major transformation for us, for God to kind of slowly, day by day, teach us to focus on who He was saying that we are, and that humanity is not pathetic and worthless and incapable and unable. That humanity was made capable, made able, and is meant to carry the very goodness of God, and that He made us in His image to rule and reign in the earth. He said it. Let us make them in our image so that they may have dominion over everything. Not just nature, everything. And that He made us able is such an empowering thing. And I didn't realize we were that different until we discovered that we were. That we really believe in the goodness of God, and we really believe that we really are united with Him in Christ, and that we really are good. So we will end with this because the kids are coming back in and we're going to do our prophetic practice, which I'm super excited about. Oh, Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is that verse. And, oh, this is fun. If we want to increase our conversation with God, realize that God is talking all the time, all the time, all the time, and our spirit hears him even if our mind and our emotions don't. So that's helpful, right? God is talking all the time. Our spirit is always hearing him. Give your space, give space in your mind and your body and emotions to catch up with what your spirit's already hearing. That's helpful. And then allow disagreements to rise up so that they can become agreements. So here's the deal. When you have a lot of disagreements with God and you know that you're being ruled by negativity, just allow them to come up and write them down so that they can become a real agreement. Because if you just keep fighting the disagreement and keep trying to not have it, you're just still dealing with the negative. So allow it to come up so that it can become an agreement, and that will be helpful. Okay, I think kids have really cool stuff that they're going to like put a photo on that's going to be fun. But before we do that, we're going to do our prophetic practice.
Yeah,
so we're going to do it quickly.
What's all about anyway?
What's all the prophetic? So what we do is we believe God speaks to all of us all the time. All the time. And that it is our joy to hear what God has to say all the time. And we can't imagine living life without hearing God all the time. So we know that it is just like, what's the most difficult sport on the planet to learn? Anybody know? Like there's a real answer to this. Soccer. No. What else? Yeah, the most difficult sport to learn.
There's
not a real answer to this, but I'm going to make it up. Go ahead.
To me, I think
football. Football is pretty hard.
Oh.
So people say that the most difficult sport is boxing.
Oh, yeah. The sweet science.
One-on-one. I don't know. That's what people say. What do you think?
What about sumo wrestling?
So
sumo
right?
Wrestling.
I know. Yeah, I have a friend who was a sumo wrestler, and he looked about like you do, Aiden. I couldn't even figure out how he did it, but he did it. Anyway, so here's the thing. How do you learn a sport? You practice. You get out on the court, you get out on the field, and you practice. And so that's what we get to do with God, is we get to practice hearing him. And we get to do that with friends who love us so that we can just learn to hear him really, really, really well until it just becomes a part of us. So who would like to receive a word? Who would like to receive a word, a prophetic word?
What's this part? Is this the part where people come up here?
Yes, this is the part where somebody comes up here and receives a word. And if nobody volunteers, then I'm going to receive it. Oh, come on up. Yes, come on up.
Jackson.
This is Jackson.
Hanging out with
mom.
I know. Yeah, come on up. Dude. Hey, you have to buy the whole seat, but you only need the edge. Right? Okay. So, we're going to give Jackson. Who would like to go pick a picture? Would you like to pick? You have a word for him already, and you don't even have a picture. That is awesome, dude. Are you ready? Or are you going to pick a picture? Okay, pick a
All
picture.
All right,
so I have. Yes. How cool is this? I mean, seriously. Okay. How come you picked this picture? Do you know?
Because he's a hard worker.
What?
Good job, thank you. Okay, Greg's gonna take the picture around. If you have a word, I know, yeah? You can get an index card out of your bucket, and anything you hear from the Lord, write down on your index card. If you wanna share it with the group, you're welcome to share it with the group. But this is our chance to practice. And by the way, take risks, write really specific stuff. He's mature, he can handle it. If your thing isn't correct, he's gonna take the parts that are and be really blessed by them, and he's gonna ignore the rest. So this is where we get to practice. Every time you kick a ball towards the goal, do you always get it in?
No.
No. Do you get kicked off the team? No, you get to practice some more. So this is what this is. It's a chance to practice hearing from God. And so, go big. I mean, go big. All right. Who has something that they feel like they want to share already? Actually, let me pray before we do. Lord, and you can just keep writing. No big deal. This was such a cool day, Lord. I had no idea what you had in store for us on Mother's Day, but I just knew that you wanted to do something special. And I feel like I really feel like you've done that, and I'm just so excited. Father, you are so in love with who you made Jackson to be. You are more in love than his parents are with him. You are more in love than his wife will ever be with him. You are more in love with him than his children will ever be with him.
And you love to tell us how much you love us. So, Father, I just thank you for Jackson. I thank you for who you made him to be. And I thank you that you love to just tell us. So we just celebrate this time. Amen. Okay. Who would like to share what they're hearing? Aiden, good job.
Can work hard and do many push-ups.
All right. That's a good word.
Thank you. Thank you. I receive that.
Darby. You got teacher. Good.
Oh my gosh.
Does that resonate with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll talk about it later.
Okay, he'll respond later. Okay? Who else wants to share?
I'll share.
Okay.
Okay, mine is a long quote.
Hers is a long quote.
Well, but it's from the Lord. And so here's what I have to learn today. You are not in between a rock, starts with sun. You are not in between a rock and hard place. This hardship you are in is actually an adventure. You, my son, are climbing. You and I are climbing together. Look around you. Enjoy this moment and enjoy being in my presence. I am with you.
Thank you so much.
That's good. Greg, will you take care of that for now?
Yes.
All right, who else?
I got that it's easy for you. You just hold on to him and slide down. And I also got that he has a unique path for you.
Thank you.
Anyone wants to share?
That's awesome. For anyone who's new to using pictures, one tip on using a picture is just look at the picture of what part jumps out to you, and then ask God what that means. That's one way to do it. Okay, Heather.
To jump in right away because I had just wrote down, it is easy for you. But I have agreed with God, it's easy for you.
Yeah.
You are anchored in truth.
Yep. I agree.
Anchored in truth. Got it. Right before she said it. You're anchored, your line is secure. You can play and explore and still safely arrive at your destination.
Anyone else want to jump in? Okay, Lynn.
I just thought that the enemy tries to distort your view a lot of times, and where you think you haven't gone very far, he kind of distorts how close the ground is to you. He either makes it feel like you're too high and you're going to get nervous, or like, I haven't gone very far, why haven't I gone farther than I am? And God is saying, look down through my eyes. I have taken you a lot farther than you think, and trust where you are. And don't let the enemy make it feel closer or further, but that's what he's trying to do to you right now.
Thank you. That's awesome.
I have one. So this is fun, that's all I have right now, I just want to. So I don't know you well enough to know this from circumstance, so I'm going to just jump in and take a stab at this, which is the best way to do it. And that is that I feel one of the things the Lord encouraging you to do is, I'm not sure how to say this right, so I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah.
I feel him saying that the feedback that you get from friends about who you are is not very good feedback.
No, it's not.
And that a lot of us will use our peers as a way of assessing ourselves. And he's going, that is not a good barometer for you for a lot of different reasons. One is because of the season that they're at in life and because of the maturity that they're at. But another part of it is because of who you are in your identity. And the Lord made you to be a plumb line. You are a plumb line. And when somebody is a plumb line or has access to a plumb line, it means they always know what's right. And they know what's true. And it's that people are supposed to come in line with your perspective, not you in line with theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're hearing and watching feedback from other people, the Lord goes, you're actually operating outside of your identity.
Wow.
Your identity is for him to tell you what's happening in a situation and for him to tell you about you and also with people, not the reflection of what they have to say. And it's really important for you to start having confidence in your plumb line identity.
Okay.
And also, there's this other disconnect that you have with your peers, which is that there's a maturity that you have that kind of messes with your relationships with your peers. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I perceive.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I feel the Lord just going, just embrace the difference and enjoy what can be enjoyed.
Okay.
Because it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Just embrace that it's really, really different. And then enjoy those relationships for what they are, because they're not going to be more than that. They're not going to be different than that. They're not going to be able to provide to you some of the things that you're wanting them to provide.
Okay.
Set.
Yeah, that okay. 100%.
Woo, yay.
Like what everyone said. It's insane. Okay. It's like kids too. Kids are like on it 100% as well.
What was the teaching thing for you?
So I've never wanted to be a teacher. Even when I went through high school, I was like, I would never do that. And then it's just been this past year where I changed my major to chemistry, and I was talking with a bunch of advisors, some on school, some of my friends. They're like, well, the first thing you're going to want to do is teach. I'm like, well, okay, I didn't really want to. But then after this last semester, like, I've really been pushing towards it. And I think that, like, that's like what I really want to do, like right after college. So. It's like huge on that.
So that's really fun.
Yeah.
Yay, good, nice risk, Darby.
Thank you.
You took on that one. Hooray. So let's just agree with all the words. If you have written on your card, make sure you please give it to him afterwards, and you can even read it to him and bless him with the reading of it personally. Jackson, we just want to bless you in the name of Jesus. And we just agree with every good word that's been spoken here, and even the good words that have not been spoken. We just agree with who God made you to be. To be a man who stands straight and who stands tall. To be a man who hears from the Lord clearly. To be a man who is confident in every single room and every single circumstance that you walk into. Confident in the goodness of your God. Confident in who he made you to be. And confident in the goodness of humanity. So we just bless you in that. Yeah. And may all of you women, not only just moms, but women who mother in so many beautiful ways, we and the husbands who love us and the other men in our lives who love us, I just bless you all in the name of Jesus. I bless you that you are the salt and you are the light. You are the goodness. You are the outpouring of God's love in the earth. May you have joy this week in releasing the goodness of God in every place that you go. Amen.